baby.
Right. Do you want, for titles, do you want one that's completely out of the blue? Mm-hmm. Like a complete left of field one? Or do you want a more classic mystery?
I'll let Jasmine choose.
Say more left field.
Cool.
Random. Because it might turn into something great.
Mm. Never
it
know.
It might not.
Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is...
The Void Between These Hollow Spaces.
What?
Yeah, that
what?
One.
Who gave us that?
That was my Waste of Talent, at Waste Talent. He got to us on Twitter.
Good.
Or they got to us on Twitter.
Good either. Grief.
Yeah, that one.
Is, well, you are a waste of talent, because that, I mean, nihilistic as it is, it's,
yeah.
That is a heck of a lot to take in.
Yeah, they got to us on Twitter, at Life's a Pitch Show, if you want to give us titles there, if you want to give us a follow, even.
Well, yeah. we're gonna have some time to take it in, yeah. And with us to help us...
do our mystery...
Bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Of the void.
Our mystery show.
Yep.
Where we're going to be asking the question, what is actually a mystery film?
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Yeah. Why, the biggest mystery is, of course, why do we keep choosing mystery as a genre when we don't actually know what the genre is?
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back, Jasmine. You all right?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I also don't know what a mystery film is, really, so you picked the wrong guess.
I mean, it was a long shot, really, for anyone to know what the mystery genre was. Frankly, we thought you were our best hope, but now that we know that you aren't, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
All in it together.
Help us, Jasmine Marr. You're our only hope.
Yeah, Star Wars, a mystery.
Yeah, who done it?
George Lucas. I think.
I think.
At least most of them. The Bible, mystery, mystery story.
Bible mystery, like who done it?
Yeah,
it was the Romans.
I think
it was
the Romans did it. Probably, yeah.
It was Judas.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
He done it.
Jesus knew. Jesus knew, but he died.
He
so.
Wasn't letting on, was he?
Yeah, it's up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah, but by the time they got to the answer, he already killed himself, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Old Judas.
Yeah. Yes.
But no, I think you've hit upon a good point.
And then on a street corner in Jerusalem, just in a puddle.
Like, what, with muted trumpets playing?
Yeah.
It's not film noir.
30 pieces of silver it cost. 30 pieces too much.
But you've hit upon a good point, which is most people, I would say, if you put mystery, they'd put the word murder in front of it.
Yeah.
And just say, yep, that's the genre of mystery.
Anything written by Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Technically a mystery.
Yeah.
Mystery to me.
So yeah, do you want to get them some honorable mentions?
Yes. Yep. Do it.
Go on.
Make it happen, Tom.
Cool. I'll have to look up some.
Snappy.
Yep.
On the ball today.
We've got one from Sean Ashcroft, who got to us on Twitter. His Twitter handle, @PartySean. The Butler Didn't Do It.
The Butler Didn't Do It?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean...
Sort of breaking away from tropes there.
Well, not only is that breaking away from tropes, but I also want to say that's a mystery in itself because that just implies that someone else did. Like, it's
I quite
the only
like...
man we know didn't do it is the butler. Everyone else is a suspect.
I quite like the idea that the butler did do it, but... because...
But the butler's played by Bart Simpson.
But... It's in a society where they call the butler a different job title.
What?
So the butler didn't do it because the butler doesn't exist.
But because the butler's called the...
The servant did it.
Yeah, the butler's called the servant.
The elderly servant of the house
boring,
did it.
It's quite a boring twist, that, isn't it?
The butler didn't do it, the elderly house servant did.
Because at the end of the film, it's got to be like... And they find out it's basically the butler, but not the butler. And then the director has to walk out into the crowd, into the theatre, into the audience.
He goes, I'm sorry, we fucked up.
No, no, he just says... So you see, it wasn't the butler who did it, it was the servant, he says to the audience, while they, like, rip up their tickets.
Storming
throw
out.
Things at him.
Why can't it be the butler didn't do it? Question mark. Because then it's more ambiguous.
Maybe the butler is on death row. And someone has to prove that the butler didn't do it.
It's like a sort of law court mystery thing where, yeah.
And butler is not a job title, it's just Gerard Butler.
We're boosting his career back to where it was in the late 2000s.
This is actually just a documentary because he's currently on death row.
Gerard Butler didn't do it.
Gerard Butler didn't do it, right? And Matthew McConaughey has to play... Yeah, I'm sorry, Tom. he has to play a lawyer.
All the evidence points to Joe Butler not doing it, basically. Like, he was in New Zealand, the murder happened, like, in Alaska somewhere...
I think the twist is going to be that the prosecution are framing Gerard Butler.
Yeah. Like, Matthew McConaughey is like looking for reasons. He hates Gerard Butler. His wife took him to see a Gerard Butler film, and he sat through it. He was like, "You fucking hate this guy. He's going down.
He's getting all my roles."
He's not an actor.
This is real Matthew McConaughey and real Gerard Butler. This is a documentary. Who's going to play his defense lawyer?
Defense lawyer, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Yeah. And Adam Sandler is in a slow decline because everyone, although all his evidence seems to point to Gerard Butler not having done it, everyone just maintains that because he's called Gerard Butler, he must have done it. And then, like,
Gerard Butler is accused of every murder.
Every crime.
Ever.
No, just every crime.
Every crime.
Gerard Butler is accused of crime. Right.
Crime.
Non-specific.
Yeah.
Non-specific, all-encompassing crime.
reading the charges takes days. And we sit through every agonizing second of it. Listening to Matthew McConaughey get more and more tired as he reads out the crime. He's got a ticker tape as it happens. Every time a new crime happens, Matthew McConaughey goes, "Oh, sorry to interrupt, Your Honour." And they're on they've got a rotating cast of judges because then you have to sleep sometime. And they're like, there's just been a robbery.
Apart from Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey doesn't sleep.
No.
He's there for the entire 5 days this film
That's
is
a cool...
like taken. The film lasts 5 days.
Yeah.
You go in thinking like, oh shit, like they list off his Gerard Butler's crimes. And I reckon some guy in the audience is like, right, well, this isn't going to end anytime soon. I'm going to go to the loo, right? And then as he goes to the loo, he's like, oh, shit! Something exciting happened! Like, they finish the listing off the crimes that Joe Butler's been accused of.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit. I just love the idea of that guy.
Yeah, that guy's ruined the whole five-day experience.
Yeah.
IMAX. The idea that, like, Matthew McConaughey has to read out as they happen. Like there's been a robbery on 4th and Main, Your Honour. Despite Gerard Butler being sat in the box, like he's sat on the stand, and they blame him.
Yeah, Gerard Butler clones. That's their
first
argument.
Theory. Yeah, yeah.
It's their opening statement. Someone has cloned Gerard Butler, and thus. He must be brought to justice.
And it's just Adam Sandler having a breakdown trying to prove the innocence of Gerard Butler. he's just, he, and eventually he just becomes a vigilante committing crimes while the court can see Gerard Butler with a camera on Gerard Butler to prove it, that one of the crimes, all he has to do is prove that one crime wasn't Gerard Butler, and as such the defense of Gerard Butler becomes the prosecution of Adam Sandler. He prosecutes himself in order to prove that Gerard Butler isn't responsible for crime.
Right, should we move on? So, we've got one from My Waste of Talent. Keyboards, blood, and Bitcoin.
Wow, these are incredibly, like, ephemeral titles coming from My Waste of Talent.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? Keyboards, blood, and Bitcoin?
Yeah.
All right, so this is about the internet age, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, it's that sort of... Bitcoin's a cryptocurrency that all the cool kids are talking about. You hear about this?
Is it like a sort of universal currency online?
You hear about this?
It's an online currency, isn't it? Bitcoin. Yeah.
Basically, it's even people who invest in Bitcoin don't know how to explain Bitcoin. So I'm not going to try. But
we are now.
It is a cryptocurrency, right? Yeah, so the idea is that you have your computer doing some encryption and then that gives you money for some reason. Anyway,
keyboards,
right,
blood,
set,
and Bitcoin.
Set in China, there's an online video which has gone viral. It's a cat playing the piano because... those things go viral these days.
They do.
And it's making a shit ton of Bitcoin online because there's so many views for this video.
This video is being paid out of the whatever we're going to call them, me funnel.
How do you spell that?
Me funnel.
Yeah.
MEFUNNEL.
Okay.
Me funnel are going to are paying out in Bitcoin to this Chinese cat owner.
And this cat has started getting advertising gigs.
Yeah.
You know, for things such as cat food and things such as Yamaha keyboards. So it's really,
I
really...
we're not following... TV ads for Yamaha keyboards.
We are
ever.
Following... I don't think we're following the owner of this cat.
I think we're following the cat.
Oh, see,
voiced by Kevin Spacey.
I was going to go with, like, you're looking at someone trying to get to the bottom of... because they realise that this cat doesn't seem to exist. The reason they're getting paid in Bitcoin is because it's, like, less traceable than money.
Mm.
So what we find out is that this cat never really existed and that something is happening to... the person who owns this cat,
there's a
sort of thing.
Glitch in the Matrix.
Something like that. Don't know what I'm not 100% on the solution to this mystery, but I know it's mysterious, so I've got at least half there.
Why can we not have, so the cat owner has just been able to make really, really realistic, like, animatronics, and he's made this, like, animatronic...
I feel
cat.
we might want to go into, like, maybe it's part of this, why has it gone so viral? Maybe there's subliminal messaging. Maybe there's sort of something in there.
No.
That's, no?
I know.
Well, I think there should be, this is the backstory of the cat.
Yeah.
And we are watching a live video of the cat. So the person that we're following is this person that sees the cat, and this cat's becoming, like, internet.
They are the number one fan. They're the number one fan of this cat.
Right.
Really, where this was going at some point was a cat was going to be axe murdered, blood on the keyboard. That was sort of the line of thinking.
Yeah.
I think that's way too simple. I think, right, this cat, like you said, doesn't exist, and this guy's trying to track down this cat. Like,
yeah,
because
number one fan.
Right. They want to...
John Cleese is the number one fan of this cat.
Yeah,
he loves it.
John Cleese is the host of E4 YouTube archiving show...
You mean
MeFunnel. MeFunnel, yeah. He is the host of that. and he wants to do
it's
some research.
Called Gauche Funnel.
Just to get an interview with the cat. And so he's like, oh yes, I'm gonna go and talk to this cat, go to China, I'm going to China to talk to this cat. So he goes to China, looks around, like, where the fuck is this cat?
His
keyboard playing
his
cat.
Marriage is falling apart at home. And he's like, and she's like, you spend too much time at work and you don't listen to me, you don't care about me. And he's like, I'm going to China, look for this cat. This cat doesn't bloody exist.
He's looked.
Can't find him.
He's looked online everywhere for this cat, right? So he's gonna take it into his own hands, get some primary research done.
He's a journalist by trade, you know, but he just got sort of put onto this
Me Funnel.
What was it called? Gauche Funnel. The TV show.
Gauche Funnel.
Yeah, it's like Rude Tube.
Okay.
Not.
Cool. I get it. It took me a while, but I got it. Yeah, that he gets there, tracks down this man, the guy who uploaded the thing, like he tracked the IP address of the original uploader and stuff, and he's like, oh yeah, no, I've never owned a cat, like I don't know why I'm getting all this Bitcoin.
There's a twist. That's a mystery.
We've already talked about this though. The guy didn't have a cat originally. He just gets a little Bitcoin. And John Cleese is like, oh, something basically right, because this has gone on for far too long, and I don't know how to get to this point.
Right.
They're all plugged into a cyber...
We're not making the Matrix again, Tom. That's already being done for a start.
No, right. They're all in this weird internet thing, like, and at the end of the film, John Cleese takes the headset off, and he's like, that was weird.
What? Oh no, it's like waking up and it was all a dream.
Yeah. It's like Dallas.
His wife's in the shower. Yeah. He goes, it was a cat and all these bad things happened.
Bitcoin.
You divorced
like,
me.
Honey, Bitcoin? What the hell?
What's
like,
Bitcoin?
You were just supposed to be trying out the new virtual reality headset. What happened to you?
Eat your bowl of dollars.
The film is set over the course of about 3 days. He pulls the headset off. And he's actually been in the headset for 30 seconds.
Yeah. And she's like, honey, what are you talking about, Bitcoin?
He's like, I don't know either. To be fair, I don't know what Bitcoin is.
Now, eat your dollars for breakfast. And we're going to... I need to get some gold bullions out of the ATM.
Now, pluck that chicken, darling.
Churn some butter.
It's an alternate. What you find? It's like the Twilight Zone. Where you find out that the gold bullions are the money, and dollars are a breakfast cereal.
That was keyboards, blood, and Bitcoin.
The fuck was that? Some reason they're in the Wild West with VR. Plug that chicken, darling.
Oh, I am really looking forward to the void between these hollow spaces.
Thanks for reminding me of that one. I need to start thinking about it.
So we've got one from Ross Originals. The Case of the Missing Face. Got a great opening to this one. Cool. Police Station, 2016. Doesn't really matter what day it is. Just to set the scene, Police Station, 2016. They're all, well, let's say, give us an actor.
John Boyega.
He is commissioner at the police station.
It's quite young for a commissioner.
Yeah, well, he rose in the ranks.
Yeah.
Did well at Police Academy 5. And
that's what they're all numbered.
Yeah. And
it's a little bit further into the future where it's... You know, it's more of a mega city, and he's like, "Where did you go? I was in Police Academy 5.
And yeah,
and all the cars when you're practicing to be a policeman go.
Guy walks in. You just see his shoes walking in. People are stopping as he walks past. You see the back of his head. People are looking at him. He's like, like, oh my god, oh my god, bursts into John Boyega's office. Cut to his face, it's gone.
Yep, not there.
It's just blank skin. And the guy says, my face is missing somehow. He doesn't have any. John Boyega is like, we gotta get on to this. Cut to credits.
Really?
Okay, not cut to the opening
credits. Oh, right, I thought you were like, the end of the film is John Boyega going, oh man.
It's a short film.
I like the idea that he can't speak, he just comes in and just lose, like.
just points at
his
face.
He's written it on his own, like, in a gap where his face would be.
My face is missing, help.
Yeah, like he's written it onto the gap where his face would have been.
No, I like the idea he's wearing a cap and he's walking like this down here, like looking at people, and sort of people are like, and then he gets into the office and he looks up and he's like, what?
There's got to be a scene in this where he hides among shop mannequins. Someone's hunting for him and he has to hide among shop mannequins.
So John Boyega and... Who are we going to cast as
Simon
the face?
Peg.
Simon
well,
Pegg.
We don't know till the end.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we should, as the casting directors, we probably should know who we're going to cast. But the audience doesn't.
Yeah. It'd be a mystery until the end where he gets his face back.
And he's like, oh, thank God I'm Simon Pegg again.
But I quite like the visual image of Simon Pegg being just like a skin boy.
A skin boy.
On his face, but like in sort of crude biro, someone's drawn like eyes and a nose and a mouth.
That would be pretty
cool.
He's
drawn it on himself.
Yeah.
he's trying to hide
he's it. Guessed, so it's like one eye, it's like a Picasso face.
I like the idea that this film could just be like a metaphor for stolen identity.
Yeah, someone else is using his face. It's like Face Off.
Like using...
Except they didn't switch them.
Just took his face, yeah.
And it was Facebook all along.
Like using it for all the new age technology, like eyes, like retinal scanners and all that sort, and like voice activated things, because someone's literally stolen his face and now they can access his whole life.
I think that part of the mystery is the next point is they find that someone else is using, like they find out that, like, for instance, he has been spotted leaving the country, like he's gone to Dubai or something like that, like, you know, using a passport that looks like him. Mm. All that stuff. And then they try and track this person down. They find, like, they uncover this whole, like, I don't know whether it's like a group of people or a cult of people who are sort of taking and using faces. And they find, but they're one step behind. So they find basements full of people with no mouths or eyes or anything.
Screaming through muffled screams.
Yeah, just their throat. You know, yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I know, right?
And so they let
shit, man, I'm scared.
And I want to say that Simon Pegg, the reason that he's special...
Chained up naked in a basement.
Yeah. The reason that Simon Pegg is special is before he was...
Static noise in the background.
Maybe, like... he needs to have... Simon Pegg needs to have done something, like, in his job.
Yeah.
Which was beneficial... To be able to find out who he is and also, like, sort of track these people down.
He won the lottery. That's why he needed his face.
Oh, what about the twist could be... So he's gone to the police saying that his face has been, like, stolen. Like, he's got, like, all this stuff to, like, prove that it's him. And he's, like, hunting this person down. When really, he's not the real Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg's the one that's running away... And he just really wants his face. So he's fabricated all this. He's like a man of wealth, a really ugly man, who wanted a new face.
He chose Simon Pegg.
So he chose Simon Pegg. So he's
of all the people,
he's fabricated this life to pretend that he's Simon Pegg, and now the police and everyone's after the real Simon Pegg.
Maybe that's it.
He's like, shit, I know that my face is going to get stolen by this.
I love the start of this being he walks into a police station and goes, look at my face, and points to his face.
It's an actor. It's a famous actor. Has had their face stolen, but or at least that's what we think.
But he really wants Simon Pegg's face.
No, but that's the point. Yeah.
I get it.
The actor is Simon Pegg. Yeah, Simon Pegg plays a famous actor, both in the bad guy role, which is the guy who we now find out. Wow, this is difficult to explain. We now find out that the guy without a face is the bad guy.
He's pretending to be.
Yeah. So that the police track this face down for him, right?
Mm.
But so Simon Pegg plays that guy, but he also plays the real actor who's on the run because people have been, he's been chased down, like, catch me if you can.
Yeah. And he's like running for his life because he knows that the only reason that he's in acting is because of his face.
Yeah.
That beautiful, beautiful face.
Beautiful Simon Pegg face. Yeah, that's that, really.
Twist is, the guy whose face is gone is Ron Pillman.
Why?
It's his birthday today.
You're on the IMDb.
Yep, that's why.
The twist is the good guy's the bad guy and the bad guy's the good guy, Tom.
Yep.
It's a classic mystery film.
It's a switch around, swap around.
It's a whodunit and a who's who all in one.
And it's a guess who as well. Are you bald with no features and no eyes, nose or mouth? Yep, you got me.
Why don't we just take this concept and make it the fourth in the Hot Fuzz films? And the bad guy is Nick Frost. Nick Frost. And he's just photoshopped all the photos of Simon Pegg to be match his body type. So it's a believable story. Anyway, we can take or leave that one. Next.
Directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
That seems like a thing he'd do.
Just there's a quick cut scene of people ripping other people's face off. Just ripping face after face after face.
Everyone
like
is,
you're pulling off like a mask.
Everyone is born with no face, and they go to Facebook headquarters and choose their face.
They go to face school.
This is a new aspect.
I want every episode to be like this. This is weird as shit.
All right, let's get to the next one.
I love it.
Oh, Mark Zuckerberg is actually just the world's
King
best face maker.
King of face.
King of face.
Face maker.
Face king.
Mark Zuckerberg is the face maker.
This is a new film, The Face Maker, starring Mark Zuckerberg, where everyone has no.
He looks into his big book, his portfolio.
His big blue book.
His big face book.
Pulls one out, like, literally by the fingertips. He's like, okay, like, there you are, and he'll just throw it at someone's face.
I quite like where that,
yeah,
that
it's
way
like minority,
that ended up.
It's like the technology in Minority Report, where he, like, picks it up out of a book, and it's like a hologram, and he, like, throws it onto someone's face, and for the rest of their life, that face is moulded into them. Like clay. Like modelling clay. How does the human race get to the point where people are born without faces?
You're saying this like it's an actual thing that's happened and where.
I like to keep things consistent, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all of our honourable mentions. Thanks for everyone who gave us titles this week. If you want to get in touch with us to give us titles or just send us a message, tell us how we're doing. We're doing great, aren't we, Matt?
Nah.
No, okay.
Nah.
Not as good as we should be.
I mean,
2 years in.
Yeah. Fucking
we
too
could,
close,
we
too
could
close
do,
to the truth.
We could be better.
No. Yeah, if you wanna get in contact or just send us a message. Tell us nice things about ourselves. Maybe next week will be better if you talk us up. You never know. But if you want to do that, you can go to facebook.com/livesofpitchpodcast or Twitter at livesofpitchshow. Of course, you can email us if you want at livesofpitchpodcast@gmail.com.
We won't read it. We never check.
I do now.
Okay.
No one emailed us, Tom.
No one's emailed us. Okay.
And you can find us on Instagram at livesofpitchshow.
So yeah, you're obviously listening to this podcast somewhere, but to name a few places where you can listen to it, we've got soundcloud.com/livesofpitchpodcast. That's where the main of... That's where we upload them.
Yep.
Basically, you can also find us on iTunes and Acast as well. Try to find the one with the film reel that says Life's a Bitch Podcast on it, not the BT Sport one.
Yeah, fuck BT Sport.
Yeah, not the business one, and not the others. Just us, please.
I think there are two separate football ones, which is hilarious.
Well, we'll just leave them to fight it out, and then we'll take the one that
is
exhausted.
We'll pick up the scraps.
Beat up the scraps.
Let those two titans fight it out. And then we'll go over and finish off whoever's left. Like the Hunger Games. Or Battle Royale.
Yeah. So yeah, if you enjoy listening to the show, maybe some people you know might as well. You can share the podcast if you want. Like, we're not telling you should.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're suggesting you should. You can share it on social media, or you can share it other ways. Like, what other ways can you share it, Jasmine?
You can make a handmade poster and stick them on your local newsagent's window.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea, yeah.
You could...
good goal. Genuinely good idea.
If you got a lot of money, you know, hire a plane.
You could print
holding a sign.
Print the URL onto Frisbees and throw them through people's windows on a hot day.
Print the URL onto bricks and throw through people's windows.
And then knock on the door afterwards and then say, can I have my brick back? It's really important to me because it's got the name of the best podcast in the world on it. And they'll say, what? This American Life? And you'll say, fuck off! It's stupid!
No one wants to know about
whatever they talk about.
Yeah, whatever they talk about. Never listen to it. Another way to share the podcast would be...
hire a horse and spray paint the hashtag on the side of it and ride it naked through the town.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how the guy who owns the horse or lady who owns the horse is going to react to spray painting the side of it.
Spray paint soundcloud.com/livesofpitchpodcast on the side of a horse and
a really
naked.
Big long horse. So it can fit the whole...
Like a really long bodied horse.
I'll take your longest horse, please.
Your longest stallion.
A sausage dog would do.
Yeah, you gotta write it in like
sausage dog.
Cheaper.
You have to write it in like silver gel pen though, because I don't think a spray painted fit.
Seeing as it's a mystery episode, lie on the ground, knife in hand, and with jam, write Life's a Pitch Podcast, the film one, on the floor.
Send your pictures to Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
We'd love to see them.
Love to see your maybe murders.
Make a sculpture.
Hashtag
murder
maybe murders.
Murder people on our behalf.
If you want to give us any suggestions for next week, we do put out a post on Friday to talk about the genre we'll be doing.
Yeah, we decide the genre the day before we put the post out.
Yep.
Yeah, so put it there.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, so on with the main pitch from My Waste of Talent at waste_talent on Twitter. The void between these hollow spaces.
I've got an interesting concept, which is kind of Black Mirror-esque.
Mm.
So what is it? The void between the two hollow spaces.
Between these hollow spaces.
Between these hollow spaces.
Mm.
So the hollow spaces are like the human and their phone, and no one can look at anyone anymore. They just look at their phone. All interaction is through their phone. They could look at the phone and see someone's face, but they could be... If I was chatting to you, I'd be talking to you on the phone.
It's all through FaceTime stuff.
It's all through FaceTime. So it's very, like, futuristic, Black Mirror style, and it's... That is the void. That is the phone is the void.
Is it called the void? Is there do we the, sort of
and the and your in your eyes and your head and everything's the hollow because we are but a shell of our former selves.
I mean, right? It worked very well for a cartoonist talking about modern life. I think that's good.
Mm.
Plus...
Seems a bit like a Banksy piece.
Does really. Seem like a Banksy piece. What I'd like to say, though, is...
We're pitching ideas for Banksy.
We get contact from another planet. Right? We are able to talk to them.
Mm.
And their planet seems bloody perfect. Right? Mm. We keep getting these messages which say... Like,
look at how good our planet is.
Hashtag 3-day weekend.
Yeah. Hashtag 3-day weekend. Hashtag diversity.
Hashtag paradise.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. You know, it's not, that's not the only, but they're like letters.
This
you know.
Planet's Instagram feed is lit.
Absolutely amazing. Lit. It's fire. It's fire, fam.
My brothers
brothers from another mothers. Yeah, so we've got contact and people are getting messages from other people on another planet, and that's sort of like people start caring more about the people on this other planet than the people around them. And then people start making plans to get across there.
How far away is this planet? Like,
quite.
Right, that's the distance.
That. Yeah, quite far.
Quite far.
Further than we've ever been before.
Yeah.
Everyone starts working on making space travel technology, like really going for it, really going for it. But then they start finding like strange discrepancies in the messages. Like, one person says that this planet has, I don't know, a purple sky, and another person says the planet has a blue sky. The person's like, pen pal as they are.
They both have hashtag no filters on, so we've no idea. No idea what's going on.
And I'm going to say we it centres around, like, who's a good, like, scientist, but like, who's going to be in the middle of this space travel research?
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. He's like, it doesn't seem right. There wasn't a planet there before, but now there is. None of our records show that millions and millions of light years in that direction. And he points just in a random direction, and we'll fill it in from there.
Whilst he's being filmed in Manchester.
Yeah. In that direction is another planet, just like us. But better.
With an Instagram feed.
He's got a fantastic Instagram feed. So, they build up, but everyone's mad on it, and Brian Cox is starting to really question what's going wrong, and his familial relationships and his, like, sort of, his wife is really into this, and his family are, because they've got, like,
well, can I say,
the
right?
Packs this isn't from the other planet.
This isn't happening on Earth. This is happening on the journey that Earth has gone. Like, there's a huge spaceship.
Yes. Yeah. Good idea.
That's all in the past.
Yeah. There's a voiceover because he's good at that.
Yeah.
He's like, 10 years ago, Earth received its first contact from extraterrestrial life. It was an amazing day, and these messages came to each and every one of our phones. They gave us hope that we could find
a better world, as Earth's resources were quickly running out. And just carries on like that.
No, please keep going. It's quite soothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Brian Cox is good for, really.
I believe you, even though you're spouting shit.
Yeah, it's true.
Like Brian Cox.
Like the Earth is round.
Yeah.
You know, fucking
hell.
Jesus, what a crazy bastard.
113 episodes in. Finally we're exposed.
As flat earthers. That's us, the Flat Earth Podcast. We caught you out.
Hydra.
He explains the backstory, and then they start getting controversial messages like that don't seem to gel with each other. And he starts to correlate these and saying, "Listen, guys, something's wrong here. Maybe we shouldn't have left Earth." And everyone, like, he gets thrown in prison, like, or set on trial for something or other. Defaming the name of our best alien friends. And then he goes into this investigation, finds out, like, actually sends out, he gets to the front of the ship where there's a big radar dish, and he sends out a message, and nothing comes back. And he realizes, like, as the film goes on, he realizes that people have been lured out into this void, and there is another planet out there, but in between is a big black hole. And they are basically this other planet aren't perfect. They were just like Earth. They were told by whoever's trying to bait them into this black hole, presumably the black hole itself. It's like Star Trek, a big sentient being. It has been told that Earth is perfect. So it's trying to get them both to go to this thing in the centre, and where they'll all die, and it'll take all their technology and all their power that they've used to get into space. That is the void between our empty spaces, because our empty space was Earth, because we've killed it in the name of trying to get to a better place. It's about this it's anti-SpaceX. I don't know how you got how you got Brian Cox on the cast.
So, Jasmine, your idea. I think we mould the two.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that maybe there's not a black hole, but there is another planet.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, no, there's not another planet, but they have been in contact with extraterrestrial life, and they've baited them away from Earth because they want to go to Earth. And actually, all the stuff that they were saying about their supposed, like,
planet was planet a lie
was actually what Earth used to be like before the humans, like, destroyed it.
Yes.
And they've been too consumed by, like, greed and, like, all this technology that they've just all wandered away from what they could have just remolded into the ideal world.
They've spent so much trying to get into space to get to this other planet.
Polluted.
Yeah.
Like, used for, like, to make all these big spaceships to, like, take off. They've, like, killed loads of rainforests. And then the other aliens go down and they inhabit Earth and the humans are fucked, basically.
Right.
They get to the planet about halfway through. This is, like, the midpoint twist.
Yeah.
Realise that the planet's an absolute junk tip.
Yeah. Worse than Earth.
Apart from certain places that they kept for, like, not national...
For Instagram.
Not national reserves, but for Instagram. Purely for Instagram.
And
it's kind
alien,
of a metaphor.
There's this alien played by Owen Wilson. And he's the social media strategist
for an entire species / planet.
For the Glockmids. And,
we just really want to get popular on Instagram. So we just saved a load, not much.
Eight square feet.
square feet of really beautiful landscape and just took loads of photos.
It's just one back garden.
And just got our most liberal spokespeople to do posts and talks and stuff. So just to make it sound appealing, because your planet is so authentic and has so many different things about it that's great. It's just great, man. And he's the only one left. Because he's poisoned the planet with this.
He's taken all their resources with them to this new planet. And then he's just like, okay, bring them in. Come on, guys, bring all your fossil fuels. We need them.
We don't have a fuck with the rest of this planet.
There's nothing left. It's literally an empty Earth. They've mined it all out. That's the whole thing. The empty, what is it? The empty space?
The empty void.
Void between two.
The void empty, between these hollow spaces. The two hollow spaces
yeah. are just them. They're mining out the planets. And he's just there on this hollow planet, on this one patch of lush, green, beautiful paradise. And maybe the film ends as
like a metaphor for like burning bridges to get to bigger and better things, yes. but actually realizing that once those bridges have been burned, you can't make them again.
The grass is always greener on the other side, guys.
But
it's not. It's actually made of shit.
The grass is always greener on Instagram. That's the tagline. Also, hashtag no filter doesn't really mean no filter.
Hashtag no filter, hashtag no resources.
Hashtag no filter only applies to Instagram filters. Your filters of your perception of reality still count.
Yeah.
Got awfully preachy that one.
Well, it was a Black Mirror episode. Again,
Why do we keep pitching Black Mirror episodes?
Because they're great.
Because they are great.
Charlie, if you're listening,
yeah,
take that one.
I'm going to send this to Charlie Brooker. Yeah. Just like we did a Black Mirror episode.
I don't know if your budget's big enough, but
space, Brian Cox, get involved.
But it was slightly more than other films we've pitched today. A mystery.
Well, the mystery is like
the twist.
Yeah,
it's the big twist.
It was a mystery.
Yeah,
it actually was a mystery film, unlike some of the things we pitched.
The void between these hollow spaces. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a good idea.
Thank you for listening to that. Jasmine, thank you for coming on the show again.
No, Paul, thank you for having me again.
It's always good when you come on, but this time I think we surpassed our mad sci-fi precedent.
Yeah, bizarre and beyond, really.
Yeah, so thank you all for listening. Remember, if you do want to get in touch with us for pitch titles or just to tell us what you think, remember you can go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review if you like the show. And, of course, go to facebook.com/livesapitchpodcast and Twitter @livesapitchshow. And, of course, Instagram by the same name.
Yeah. Like Matt said, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, anywhere where you can review us, give 5 stars. Give us 10 stars, if 10 stars is an option.
Yeah, don't give us 5 out of 10. Don't give us 5 out of 100 either.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to this somewhere. But you can listen to it on soundcloud.com/livesapitchpodcast. That's where all our main... that's where we upload the show. iTunes, Acast, anywhere where there's an RSS feed.
So, until next time, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
And I've been Jasmine Moore.
And remember who pitched it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.